WMKV 89.3 FM, with permission of WMUB-FM, Miami University Broadcasting, is proud to present the following hour-long historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Bix Beiderbecke.
This is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and produced by Miami University Radio. By autumn of 1927, Gene Goldcat had money trouble. Keeping his group of talented musicians together was costing him some $3,500 a week. And as popular as the Goldcat Orchestra was, the fees they collected could not cover the payroll and other expenses. When the Goldcat Orchestra folded, Bix Beiderbecke and his friends followed sax player Adrian Rollini to the Club New Yorker. Frank Trombauer, who was close to Bix both personally and professionally, remembered the series of events which led Bix along through the collapse of the Goldcat Orchestra, the Club New Yorker, and to Paul Whiteman's organization.
It was a wonderful organization. The only thing wrong with it is the band cost about twice as much as we could sell it for. And Goldcat put up the money and we played. We had a wonderful time. And we played in that band for a while, and that's the place in the gold, in the Greystone Ballroom in Detroit where Whiteman came in to hear the band. Naturally, we looked real nonchalant and picked out our best tunes and knocked Pops right off the balcony with that band, actually. So after the set was over, well, he sent Jimmy Gillespie, the manager, down and wanted to talk to Bix and I about joining his band. And we weren't so sure that he had a band that was much better than ours, so we just decided we'd talk to him a little later. So, in fact, we're quite proud of the band at that time. So we went to New York, and the Goldcat band broke up, and then Adrian Rollini fixed up a band for a cafe called the New Yorker. And in that band was Eddie Lang and Bix and myself and Don Murray, Adrian, and Frankie Signorelli. Oh, it was a wonderful band. We had Frank Fay in the floor show. Patsy Kelly was his stooge. Dave Franklin, who is now a big official in Paramount, was his piano player. We had what we thought was the most wonderful combination in the world in a brand new nightclub that cost probably $100,000 to redecorate, and we all lasted just 2 weeks. It folded. And at the conclusion of that, while Jimmy Gillespie had been after us, and we decided, well, this Whiteman band's pretty fast, so I guess we better join that band. Actually, when he first talked to us, we were kidding a little bit about our opinion of our own band, because at that time, Whiteman was, without a doubt, the peer of all musical organizations.
The band from the Club New Yorker did not disband before leaving a legacy for jazz buffs. Under the name of Broadway Bellhops, they cut records for the Harmony label. Frank Powers discusses the records cut by Rollini's band.
For a while, they had a band that was called the New Yorkers. It was under the leadership of Adrian Rollini. One of the recordings that essentially was that band was was a series of three sides made under the name of the Broadway Bellhops for the Harmony, Velvetone, Diva combine labels, which were subsidiaries of the Columbia labels. These recordings were made by the acoustical process because at that time these records sold 35 cents or something of that nature in 10 cent stores, and Columbia felt that the Columbia name should only be on the electrical recordings, and the OK recordings also were electrical. But in any case, these were rather commercial by comparison with the previous ones we've heard. However, There Ain't No Land Like Dixieland is unique, though it's a rather ordinary sort of 1920s novelty tune with a typical 1920s type vocal by Irving Kaufman. It possesses a beautiful Beiderbecke trumpet chorus, which stands out in contrast to the rather mundane quality of the rest of the recording. Thank you.
Alabama. Why, sure, that's Birmingham. Is there any place so nice? Do I have to ask you twice? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, that's my paradise. And doesn't that smell like ham and eggs? No, that smells like bacon and eggs. Bacon and eggs. Ham and eggs, oh, gee. Mr. Lindbergh made Paris, but I made God's own heaven, you see, and there ain't no land like Dixieland to me.
Unemployed Bix Beiderbecke formed his own recording band to fill in the time until the Whiteman job opened. Powers reviews the band, known as Bix and His Gang.
In October of 1927, Bix Beiderbecke, under the name of Bix Beiderbecke and His Gang, for the most part, made the first three sides of a series of six sides, which were to be a contrast to the six classic sides made by the Trumbauer session earlier that year. These were different, though. They were a different quality. I think people who are first beginning to like Bix sometimes are more attracted to these than they are to the earlier Trumbauers. But these are in the Dixieland style. This possibly might be said to be Bix's last real nod to the original Dixieland jazz band. They again are mostly the musicians he had been associated with in the Gold Kid Orchestra. There's an excellent front line. Bix's incomparable lead cornet, and I call the lead cornet for the most part on this because primarily ensemble playing is the forte of Bix on these recordings. He has Bill Rank on trombone and Don Murray on clarinet, certainly one of the finest frontline combinations that white jazz could produce at that time. The bass saxophone is used to take the place of string bass or tuba in the orchestra. In this case, the absolute ace of the bass saxophone, Adrian Rollini. Frank Signorelli is on piano, and Chauncey Morehouse, also a Gold Kid alumnus, is on drums. The first date is at the Jazz Band Ball.
Hoagy Carmichael remembers Bix's pyrotechnics.
In the case of the Jazz Band Ball, which you may be hearing in a moment, I think in this case, this is Bix at his best in what I've always used, the little term, pyrotechnics or something. I invented the word for by use that he actually climbed all over the tune and climbed all through it in as far as keeping a great beat and keeping an excitement going that you couldn't relent from. It was relentless, that's the best way to put it. That is probably his best exhibition. That's his best exhibition as a cornetist.
Bill Rank, who had played trombone for Gold Kid, was also in on the recordings of Bix and His Gang. He especially recalls the first tune cut by the band at the Jazz Band Ball, cut on October 5th, 1927.
As far as Bix, the the musician and my association with him over a period of 4 or 5 years in the Golket and Trumbar and Bixney's Gang era of recording, I think that Bix has no peer as far as cornet player, because he did play cornet, he didn't play trumpet. His own style and method of delivery and just, I would say, nonchalance, the way he played, just absolutely thrilled me every time I heard him. And you can take it from Bill Rank that at the jazz band ball, clarinet marmalade, and fidgety feet, all those, Clementine with the Golket band, I think were some of the best records he ever made. At the jazz band ball. The way that starts out, boy. It starts right out from the beginning. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, this at the jazz band ball. It's one of my favorite records. Later on, Adrian Rollini takes a marvelous break on bass saxophone. In those days, we used to record the verse to tunes. We didn't play just the choruses like they do now. This is the chorus where Adrian takes this break. Yeah. Now Adrian taking a chorus on bass sax. He had marvelous ideas. Don Murray on clarinet. Yeah, I think this is Frankie Signorelli on piano. This break, Bix and I followed him up. That's my favorite on this record you just heard. I think Bix had more drive than he did on some of the other records. Of course, Clarinet Marmalade and Ostrich Walk and all those, he had drive also, but I prefer this record.
The other two sides made it the October 5th recording date are Raw Garden Blues and Jazz Me Blues. Raw Garden Blues is taking the tempo much slower, and the contrast to the Wolverines recording, which Bix appears, and this, in regard to their to the respective cornet solos, is very revealing. The 1927 Beiderbecke version, as compared to the 1924 version, the 1924 version has a conception of melody which is very close to the conceptions you might hear Leon Rapallo play on clarinet with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. In other words, it's very smooth, it's very lyrical, it's very simple, it's very direct. However, the 1927 version is a virtuoso performance, with Bix even seeming to use a chord substitution in triplets on the opening phrase of his chorus.
Jazz Me Blues was recorded again on the OK label on the same date, October 5th. Thank you.
next recording date was held on October 25th, 1927. At this time, Bix decided to use three contemporary pieces of material. Goose Pimples is a tune written by Fletcher Henderson and performed by the Fletcher Henderson Band on another recording date at the same time. An interesting thing happens on this particular recording. Bix gets the routine mixed up. He starts to play into the piano solo. Realizing he has made an error and wishing to destroy the master, he inserts two trumpet notes into the middle of Frank Signorelli's piano chorus. The effects of these notes, though, only seem to add to the musical charm, as if Bix actually could do no wrong. And then, with the tension gone, the out chorus is just a ball, with Bix playing a powerful lead with characteristic rips that he did with such swing and naturalness that when other trumpet players attempted to do the same thing, it sounds ludicrous and dated.
Is Bix, a biographical series made possible through a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Consultants for the series were John Steiner, along with Joseph Campbell and Philip Evans. Commentary was recorded by Frank Powers. Continuity was written by Mary Kay Fulton. Audio engineer, Michael J. McGuire. Bix was researched, produced, and directed by Jim Grover. This is Bill Utter speaking for Miami University Radio.
WMKV 89.3 FM, your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for all your favorite music from the 1920s through the 1940s, is proud to present another half-hour program from the historic documentary on one of the greatest legends of jazz, Bix Beiderbecke.